Oh, hi. Hi, John.
Well, thank you firstly so much for giving me the time for a quick 5-minute natter today.
Oh, no problem.
And I thought the best place to start would be, JJ, what is your role? What do you do at University of Victoria, sir?
Okay, so I'm actually an astronomer, and I work for the National Research Council of Canada here in Victoria up on the hill at DAO, the Dominion Astrophysical Observatory. And I do research on the structure of the outer solar system, measuring the contents of what's up there.
And so yesterday, I was reading in a newspaper, The Times Colonist, that you, alongside a great team of researchers, had basically spotted a new dwarf planet. And it's this is where I want to shut up and just throw back to you. Is firstly, can you set up, JJ, how is it that you found this dwarf planet? How did you come to be a part of this team? And why is it important to us?
Right. Okay. So we'll just to deal with the sort of how of the situation. So what we're doing is we're taking images of the sky using the telescope in Hawaii called the Canada-France-Hawaii Telescope. And this telescope has a really wide field camera on it. It can see about 4 times the size of the full moon in a single image. And these are extraordinarily high resolution images. The resolution of the images is around 1/10,000th of a degree per pixel. So really, really tiny, tiny little pixels of imaging on the sky. And you need that in order to pick out these very faint sources in the distant solar system. So we're doing this survey in order to measure the contents of the outer solar system because we're interested in how did planets form. And as we're doing that, we're looking for really quite faint things. But by some happenstance, a rather large object, this object RR245, happened through the field of view of the telescope while we were doing this survey. And so now we've not only discovered a bunch of very small things in the outer solar system, but also this dwarf planet that's lurking out there as well. Now, we've been doing this kind of research up here at the observatory in Victoria for quite a long time. I came here in 2002 basically to run surveys like this in order to really map out the structure of this region of space. Astronomers only really were able to detect objects in that part of space starting in the late 90s. And we've been developing techniques to do it since then, and now we have these large surveys that are accumulating big databases of all these orbits of objects that are in the outer solar system. But through all that, there really aren't very many of these dwarf-sized objects, these things that are up around 500 to 1,000 kilometers in size, for us to find. And they're really interesting objects because they have the possibility of holding on to some of the volatile ices, the methanes and the carbon dioxide ice, that would be right on the surface of the object. So we learned a lot when the New Horizons spacecraft went past Pluto. We got beautiful images of the surface of Pluto, and we could see these icy surfaces all over Pluto. And Pluto can have those because it's so large, it holds on to that icy material, whereas the smaller objects, they don't. The ices sublimate away, and you're left with a surface that is very dark. And so we're trying to understand the process by which these ices are retained and where they come from. So finding these dwarfy-sized objects that are in that 500 to 1,000-kilometer zone is going to help us do that.
So, JJ, how do I say your last name correctly?
Kovalars.
You see, I would have said Cavalier or something terribly wrong. Kovalars. JJ Kovalars, a professor at UVic. So with regard to this new discovery of RR245, when you discover something firstly, do you have like a sort of sounder where you smack a button and say, da-da-da-da, I got this one? Like, how does that run down in the office?
Yes, well, so in fact, up here at the observatory, we have quite a few astronomers, and so what you do is you rush out and you find a colleague and you show it to them and you say, look at what I found. This is really amazing. I happen to be working closely with Michelle Bannister, who's a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Victoria, and so I immediately ran up to her office and brought her down here to show her this little dot of light on the screen, which was just impressive to us because of how bright it was. It's, very, very faint compared to anything you see with the naked eye, but just remarkably bright for something to be found in one of our surveys. And then we started basically texting members of the team that we're part of to say, this is incredible, look what we found. And I would say by basically 48 hours later, we were having group conference calls with people from Taiwan and France and Japan who are on this project with us, asking them, you know, what do you think we should do? What kind of strategy should we take to try to achieve the best science from this discovery?
So what do we do now with RR245? What is the next step with you guys? Because it's not as if you can just zoom in even closer and see if there's anyone milling about on the place. Like, how do you take this simple picture and formulate more data around it to help us put pieces together of how these bigger planets might form from a dwarf in the first place?
Yeah, so you're right. We can't just zoom in on this thing and measure it any more in higher resolution than we have. But what we can do is we can start to look at the reflected color of the object in different wavelengths. So we can measure it in very blue wavelengths. We can measure it in red wavelengths. We can measure it in the infrared and maybe even into the slightly far infrared. And different chemicals, different materials have different kinds of reflectance. That's why you see colors of objects. And so basically, we're going to try and measure the very detailed color of this object. And methane ice and water ice and CO ice all have different signatures of what color they are. And so we're now spending time with telescopes in Hawaii and some telescopes in Chile trying to just pull out the detail of what color this thing is and what kind of surfaces it might be made from. That's the first step in the sort of exploitation. The next thing will be sometimes these objects cross in front of a bright star, and when they do, they block out the light from the star. And if you can time that amount of time that the blocking happens for, we know the speed the object's going at, and so we can actually determine the size of the object based on how long it occults a star. And we'll be able to measure very precisely then its size. And then we'll have its size, and we'll have its chemical composition, and we'll start to model how the surface of the object behaves, how its interior might be, all sorts of details like that.
And that, JJ, is when I'm going to give you a call again and get the next step update for Zone listeners.
Be fantastic.
Is that a deal?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, then, that's all I need from you, man. That is absolutely marvelous. Thank you so much again for giving me this time.
Oh.
And just go and have a great rest of your day, discover more awesome things, and let us talk about it sometime.
Great. Thank you very much for calling.
Ciao for now, mate.
Bout.